Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, I'm Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style. Welcome. So, today's lucky dip of questions. I have a few. Thank you for leaving them on the Facebook page, Inside Out Style. So if you are wanting to leave a question, go to facebook.com/InsideOutStyleBlog and leave me a question there and I will answer it in an upcoming session. Emily's asked, please contrast synthetic fabrics for their practical wear characteristics, particularly pilling and wrinkling. I'm a fan of wash and wear, but find it sometimes hard to predict how a particular fabric will perform. Now, what is interesting about synthetics is they have been built to be more durable. That is partly why they have been developed. But there are some pilling issues in particular, and some may wrinkle more than others. You'll actually find that 100% cotton and 100% linen wrinkle way more than any synthetic fiber. And in fact, what you get is if you give yourself a mix of fibers, that's when you often get the least wrinkling. So a cotton polyester mix, particularly like a, say 75-25%, say, you'll often get a really anti-wrinkle sort of garment. The knits like modal and then bamboo and wool, you know, when it's in a knit, all these things can also be fairly unwrinkling, as will a wool woven is a very unwrinkling fabric, but that's not a synthetic fibre. So there are a bunch of different sorts of fibre. We've got our kind of nylon that we see a little bit in clothes, more in underwear and some of those things, does not wrinkle, will pill a little bit. We have polyester. Polyester can pill. Really, of all these things, it depends on how tightly woven they are. The more tightly woven, the less you get, and the thread is, the less you get pilling. The more loosely woven, the more pilling you'll get, because it's all about the fabric rubbing, the fibres rubbing, and the ends of the fibre sticking out, and then grabbing onto whatever else they're hitting. So it can be like when the underarm and the sleeves, you'll often see pilling, or across the body, your car seat belts will usually pill that bit down here, where it rubs against your body. So rubbing is to creating the pilling. Now, natural fibres like wool will pill particularly at the beginning, and then will eventually kind of stop pilling so much. Cashmere as well, you'll always find that there will be some pilling with a soft, fluffy sort of fibre, and this is where using a depil comb or a lint shaver are really useful to do, because sometimes you kind of have to live through a bit of that pilling. But always, the higher quality, you tend to get a more finely spun fibre, and that's when pilling reduces, because it's more finely spun. More loosely spun, there's more little of those hairy ends to stick out that create the pills. The problem with polyester when it pills is you can't really remove them in the way that you can from a natural fibre. They're a really tough fibre, and they hang on. So this is where things like washing your garments inside out also helps to reduce the pilling of garments as well. And it's often about what the mix is. Now, there are some fibers like acrylic, it just pills. I wouldn't ever spend a cent on acrylic. The minute I look at a garment, and I always look at the tag to see what it's made of, if it has an acrylic content, I just don't ever buy it, because I just know acrylic does not wear well at all. There are the cellulose fibres. So in this range of fibres, you'll get the viscose, lyocell, and modal. Now, basically, there is a wood pulp. Now, what viscose has, which they're like a wood pulp fibre, is it has a weightiness to it, so they always have really great drape. There's a lot of different ways of processing this, and this is where sometimes one viscose is not another viscose, and this is where it can be really hard to know whether you're going to get a great one or one that doesn't stand up. The thing with viscose is it tends to be a little bit delicate. It often needs dry cleaning, or gentle washing. So putting it in a gentle wash, never put it in the dryer. 100% viscose will often tend to shrink when you wash it, and then you have to actually steam iron it to stretch it back to shape. That is something to be aware of as well, that it can need that bit of stretching, but it has a beautiful drape. It has a heaviness because it's made of a cellulose fibre. So Lyocell is actually a much better version of viscose. It's a rayon. They're all in the rayon family. It actually has, it's a better finish. It's more hard wearing. So Lyocell is a much better fiber and also doesn't have the crush property some fibers do. Less likely to wrinkle. And then you have rayon as well. And rayon can be an older fiber too. It was one of the, 1920s, I think it was discovered in the DuPont laboratories. And it tended to wear not so well. And this is why we have the modal and the lyocell, the kind of newer versions of rayon that do wear much better. They hold their dyes. The old ones used to fade really easily. And they do have better wearing properties. But you'll tend to find that the best fabrics, the ones that last the longest, have only, less, probably three or less different fibers in them. And then also have a higher percentage of natural fiber and a smaller percentage of synthetic fibers. So with elastane as well, you'll tend to find that up to 5% elastane, the garment will snap back, it'll have ease of movement, but it will wear well. When you've got 20% of elastane in a garment, over time elastane's, the stretch that's in spandex, elastane is just the fiber name, spandex is the brand name. What happens is over time, particularly with heating, so washing machine and in the dryer, I generally don't put my, sports active wear in the dryer because it's very high elastane. It breaks down the fibers and it's a bit like an elastic band that over time it kind of gets a bit floppy and so therefore it doesn't stretch, go back to the stretch. So a higher elastane fiber won't wear as well as something that's got a lower elastane fiber. So you get a pair of jeans with a very high elastane fiber. Sure, they are super comfy, but you'll tend to find that they stretch out of shape more quickly than something that's got a higher cotton percentage. So do look at kind of what the percentages of the fibers are. So, elastane makes things more comfortable, absolutely, but how much elastane means how much it will stretch and bag out as well. So there you have it. There's a kind of a few little, kind of tips. So most, the thing with synthetic fibers is they often have great properties for travel. Like if you want to wash it and wear it the next day, a 100% polyester thing's going to wash and, dry very quickly. They have wicking properties and they don't hold on to water in the way that cotton just can take days to dry. If you're, inside a hotel room rather than having any sort of fresh air or breeze to dry it in. Synthetic fibers have their place. But I often think that depending on the use of the garment, what you're after, being aware, do read the instructions for care because some, viscose and those fibers do require some dry cleaning. But even things like linen, a linen polyester mix, or a linen viscose mix will actually, because linen can be quite stiff. So when you have that mix with a synthetic fiber, you'll actually find that it's much softer to wear, much more comfortable, and doesn't wrinkle as much. It actually, because linen's that really crushy fabric, so that when we have that bit of viscose in it, bit of rayon, whatever version of rayon we are talking about, it'll actually have better drape and less crush. So there's a little few tips about thinking about synthetic fibers. One of the things I always do is when I'm looking at a garment, I'll just, go into the store and I'll grab it and I'll crush a piece, when it's on the hanger, I'll just crush it in my hand and I'll see how much it actually, does it hold the crush or not? Now, so if a fabric, basically you crush it and nothing happens, well, there you go. There you've got a very, probably 100% synthetic fiber most likely, or maybe something like a cashmere or something that's a wool that tends to not crush so easily. So it's going to be really non-iron. If it crushes lots, I would leave it well alone. If it crushes a little bit, a lot of things crush a little bit. Often that's where you get that good wear plus, also some of the, the benefits of those synthetic fibers. So hopefully that has helped you. Now, just got to put my glasses on to read the comment. So with travel wear, polyester is one of those things that can be really good for travel clothes, but some people find it sweaty and hot. So it may not be as comfortable in summer, but it certainly has easy wash and wear. abilities. So, there's always swings and roundabouts, as my mother always said. What you gain on the swings, you lose on the roundabouts. Knowing which fibres are actually going to work. But I always go three or less fibres, definitely four or less fibres in any one garment. And then look for a ratio of natural fibres to synthetics. But of course, it depends on sportswear. It's a whole different ball game. And as is, like things like tights, they need to be 100% synthetic. So really, pilling comes with the length of the fibre. So silk, which is one continuous fibre, doesn't pill. This is why, silk is a great fibre, but, it's more expensive, isn't it? Okay, let's have a look at our next question. What have I got here? Elaine asks, how to minimise the appearance of my boobs? So this is where... It's thinking about everything from how high or low a neckline. So we don't want a really plunging neckline because it's going to put them out there, but we don't want a really high neckline. Often we think, I'll just cover it up. But it's the same thing with bottoms. Often one of the things we do is we think, if I want to hide my bum, I'll just pull my, my top right down over the top. In fact, what it does is cup it and emphasizes your bottom. So just the same with boobs. If I don't want to emphasize it, I don't want to have everything pulled up over the top because it makes it appear like a shelf. So instead, what do we do? So we can think about a kind of, I always think about the first balance point neckline. That is the length of your face and then the same distance down. Having your top end at that first balance point, putting a piece of jewelry, a larger scale piece of jewelry, up higher. Now, if you're not really dramatic in your personality, go for something made from multiple pieces rather than just one piece. So that's also another example. Thinking about two neckline shape relates to face, the jaw shape. So repeating that always creates harmony. And not putting frills and ruffles and any sort of gathering over the top of them, because frills, ruffles, gathering, so even like a gathered neckline will make your bust appear larger. So therefore, it just creates extra volume that you don't need. Draw attention away. So have a focal point somewhere else. This is why jewelry is great, earrings are great, shoulder detail, anything that draws attention up and away from them. I will, of course, link to a bunch of posts to help you on the blog, of which I have many. Okay, next question. Let me have a look here. How do you style an Apple Watch or Fitbit or any sort of activity tracking watch so they are, not so chunky looking? Do you add a bracelet to the same hand, opposite or none? What are the best colours? So one of the things I think about, and I do wear an Apple Watch these days, and I've been wearing, some sort of fitness tracking device for many years now. So one of my big tips is don't wear it with a rubber band. Like the rubber watch bands and fitness bands are very athletic and kind of chunky looking. So I always get myself this, one of the things in my criteria for choosing a fitness tracker is, can I replace the band? Because also my body eats through rubber really quickly. So I had a couple of Fitbits over the years where seriously within 8 to 10 months, my body had actually eaten through the band. So even though the fitness tracker still worked, I couldn't keep it on my wrist. And these were ones that didn't have replaceable bands. So I learnt the hard way. My body eats through the band. I don't know what it is about my skin. Doesn't like rubber. So what I'll do is I'll buy myself, something that has a replaceable strap option. And then I'll get myself something a little bit more, jewelry like to wear. Now, if I'm going out to do some activity, I can always put the rubber one back on to do it, and then I will swap it back to do, like my everyday. So it stops looking so much like a big activity tracker and starts looking a bit more like a piece of jewelry or a regular watch. So that is one of my tips. And the thing is, you can get these bands off Amazon, eBay, all sorts of places. You don't have to go and spend a fortune. To get yourself a fitness band that works. So I mean, honestly, eBay Amazon, all these places. I've got some really great, I've just had a leather band. This one's a little metal band. It's got a little bit of bling in it. And it stops the watch. Look, you know, a watch is a watch and kind of it's obvious what it does. It has a function. There is a practicality to it. But it's also looking at, you know, what it's holding, being held onto your wrist with. The other thing to think about, okay, what color to go for. So if you're very warm, go for more the yellow gold. If you're very cool, go for the silver version, or anybody really can go for the rose gold. And I often think it's go and try them on, see if you like it on you. And I find in summer probably the rose gold because I get a bit more of a tan is better, but I could happily wear the silver. In the middle of winter when I'm much whiter, probably the silver is a bit better. But really I just look at it as a piece of jewelry and it's a bit of fun and I am not too concerned about it standing off too much. Yes, you can wear a bracelet or something on the other hand to distract from it as well and to balance it out. That is also another option. But often with these things, try them on and things, you can get all sorts of different coloured bands and all sorts of, you know, fun things to play with. I mean, what I kind of like about them is you actually get some, some options to, you know, to change them up for not great expense if you choose to. Question from Karen. If one has a tummy you don't want to emphasize, do jeans with button closures rather than zippers attract attention to that area or help disguise it? In the whole, because the buttons on jeans tend to be actually quite tall, they're not just a flat button. They've got like a base to them because they're those metal jeans buttons, they will add to your tummy. So I'd be going for a zipper over a button up fly on your jeans if you've got a bit of a tummy. And then also looking for, there's a lot of jeans these days that have got a bit of stitching on the inside of the jeans that helps to flatten your tummy down. So there's a few different brands around now that I've seen it in, you know, a few different places where they're basically, you know, they tummy tuck, you know, they'll call them tummy tuck jeans where they'll hold your tummy in. They'll often have a kind of cross kind of stitching. When you look at the inside of the jeans, you'll find that there's kind of a band that goes like diagonally across in the front that's aiming to kind of reinforce the fabric and hold your tummy in as well. Also thinking about where to put your tops. Don't tuck your tops in and have a really tight jean, then the jean, you know, your tummy sticks out below. End your top just below the widest point, the peak of your tummy. That's the most flattering place when we are disguising a tummy, is to end that top there. Also thinking about having a curved hem as well, rather than a straight hem. So a curved hem really can help to disguise your tummy as well. Also think about the rise of the jeans. Too low when we get the muffin top, everything spills out over the top. Too high and we can actually kind of overemphasize the tummy. So we want to think about getting that rise right for us, which is of course very individual. You often need to try different ones on to see which ones work for your body type. So there we go. Today's three questions answered. I will be back again tomorrow. And I hope you have a lovely rest of your day. Of course, if you want extra style advice, come over to the blog, insideoutstyleblog.com. And if you need to know, you know, what colours suit you, what style suits you, my 7 Steps to Style program is there to give you all that sort of personalised information as well. And don't forget to leave your questions and I will answer them in my style Q&A lucky dip in an upcoming episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.